Guys, I have been rumbled. My CIA connections have been revealed. I am part of a conspiracy to suppress the truth about ancient history. So alleges Graham Hancock in his latest video, debunking the debunking industry.
Here he is with his team. There's Milo Rossi, Minuteman. Stefan Milo and Bill Farley and Jason Colavito, World of Antiquity, they're all grouped together, determined to destroy any hint of disagreement with the mainstream view.
It's a tad dramatic, I would say. Bit of a dramatic claim.
Oh, slow down there, Skippy. Graham never said you guys were part of some CIA conspiracy theory, did he? No, that's why you didn't use a clip of him saying that. You've got some kind of sort of close clips, and you use those to make, what did you call it? A dramatic claim. Yeah, you're the one making a dramatic claim, Stefan, and you're twisting Graham's words to do so, which is no surprise to those of us who've seen you address his work before. You don't really pay much attention to what Graham actually says. You look for the least charitable interpretations that you can find so that you can make straw men and attack them in order to make a dollar. Which is pretty ironic on a video that's talking about the debunking industry. But anyway, hi, my name's Dan and welcome to Dedunking.
I can't believe Graham has even seen any of my videos, if he thinks that's what I'm doing. That's a dramatic claim, isn't it? I mean, come on. I think it would be more exciting if I was involved in some conspiracy. I think my life would be a little bit more exciting. I feel compelled to defend myself because that's just not what I do. I think he's just saying it because I disagree with him. This is my response. This is debunking the debunking industry.
Yes, Stefan, Graham has seen your videos, but he didn't say you were engaged in a conspiracy. So I'm wondering why you even make this point. Unless it's a bullshit point in order to give you a reason to make a video so that you can make a dollar off of this. Would that be what's going on here?
Let me start by saying this. Graham is very good at making it seem like there is a mainstream view in archaeology, that there is one accepted view in archaeology. And I don't think that that is the case at all. There's lots of disagreement, lots of possibilities about all sorts of things that happen in prehistory, right? Because we only have a fraction of the evidence left to analyze, and analyzing it isn't always straightforward. Everyone that does archaeology understands that, right?
This is exactly what I'm talking about. Graham has a hypothesis that he posits, and there's a mainstream archaeological argument against it, and several, I would say. And Graham is aware of those. And Stefan is aware of those, but Stefan is pretending they don't exist because, you know, sometimes archaeologists have open minds about other things. And since, you know, archaeology changes, well, therefore they would just accept Graham's stuff if it just was true. It has nothing to do with them misrepresenting his work, but I don't know, claiming that he said that you're a CIA freaking plant when he didn't say that. That might be the kind of thing that he's talking about, where people just kind of conflate his work or his stuff with something else entirely, and then they attack. I don't know. I could be wrong there. I could be entirely wrong, but that's what it seems to me like he might be getting at here.
He's very good at presenting half of the evidence or half of a discussion and never getting into the weeds, I would say. And I'm going to use the example of Aboriginal DNA in South America, which is how he started off his speech. He makes it seem like the only possible explanation is that people sailed across the Pacific, which is quite a feat. That's not a small feat. Okay, that's not a small feat. That is one possibility, though, for why native South Americans have this genetic connection to Australian Aboriginals and other people in that region. It's not that they have a direct input from Australian Aboriginals, but they both populations hypothetically have this input from this mysterious population Y. I made a whole video on it. I interviewed the geneticists behind the discovery. There's no conspiracy. But one thing that's you always got to keep in mind when studying ancient DNA is that the modern distribution of people doesn't necessarily reflect the distribution of people back in prehistory, right? And especially since the advent of farming, across Asia and Europe, farming communities really spread out. And there could have been many people across Asia with more Australasian DNA that has since been obscured by later population movements. And you know, another reason, perhaps, speaking of population movements, why this genetic signal hasn't been detected in North America is because of how devastating the arrival of Europeans was to native North Americans. So it could be that this signal of DNA in South American populations is because someone sailed across the Pacific. People have sailed across the Pacific in prehistory because they reached like various Japanese islands that were certainly over the edge of the horizon. So people could do seafaring voyages in the Paleolithic. But sailing across the Pacific, it's really hard, man. It's really, really hard. That's a big ocean. It's like the half of the Earth. It's not a small feat. Another possibility is that the founding population of the Americas already had this DNA signal within them. And for various reasons, like later populations movements, it's just been obscured in North America, and this population has been obscured in Asia. There is more than one explanation for this signal.
Now, this is hilarious, considering how DNA has been used against Graham by Stefan.
In the modern world, with all the technology we have, the best source of evidence for connection between different peoples now and in prehistory is going to be DNA. That's what archaeologists, that's what geneticists would really expect to see if there was this globe-spanning civilization somewhere in prehistory. I think we would see a lot of genetic evidence for that, not just in ancient human remains, but still within us today. If you think about how advanced ancient genetics has gotten, you know, we're looking for really tiny percentages of archaic admixture from archaic humans tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years ago. We've gotten so good at that. If we were sort of interconnected on like an urban scale, I think we would see a lot of evidence within that in our DNA. It's like if you're ever scrolling on TikTok or something and you see someone from like Honduras do an ancestry DNA test, and they're related to absolutely everyone in the world. It's like 8% Cameroon, 3% Morocco, 4% Russia, blah, 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 blah. They're just related to absolutely everyone because, you know, the history of all the people traveling to the Americas. I think if we were connected on a large scale in prehistory, that's the kind of thing we would expect to see. Now, people did move a lot in prehistory. We have a lot of evidence for that archaeologically, genetically. Sometimes they moved really far distances, thousands of miles. And I don't want to say that we know everything about genetics, especially ancient genetics. We for sure do not know everything. There's still so much we can learn from that. But if we're talking about a civilization, as I say, on a global scale, I think we'd see genetic evidence of it. The fact that we don't have that, it has to keep Graham Hancock and people that really support his ideas up at night. That has to really bother them. I can't believe that it doesn't. That is the strongest piece of evidence we would need to prove the connection between groups of people, and it's basically missing. If you think about all the shows that all the places he talks about in the show, Malta, North America, South America, Antarctica, Indonesia, Turkey, Malta, really places that are really far away from each other, I think we'd find a genetic signal of that. I really think so. It's got to keep him up at night. It's got to absolutely keep him up at night. That is, in my opinion, just a baseline fundamental objection to this idea.
And this is the sort of shenanigans that Graham has faced for years, and this is why he complains about it. I mean, look at the doublethink on display here. On the one hand, DNA is so good, you could just do this, 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 and this with it. On the other hand, if DNA supports the possibility of a civilization of Graham's liking, and the possibility, so not to be supporting Graham, just a possibility. And now, well, you know, maybe they came down through here, and maybe so many of them got wiped out here that they lost the signal, and maybe some of them interbred over there. It's tough to say for sure. That DNA is tricky, tricky stuff when Graham brings it to you. But when he doesn't bring it to you, where's the DNA? This is This is why Graham prattles on about this stuff so much, because it doesn't matter what evidence he hands you guys if you're just going to dismiss it out of hand. Team science.
And I like to think I keep a pretty open mind, Van. I like to think I keep a pretty open mind. He has lots of things that he loves to talk about, like Gunung Padang. I keep an open mind about that.
We don't know. If he's correct, though, if he's correct, archaeologists don't have a problem with that. It's younger than that big mammoth enclosure in Kostenki, Russia that I mentioned earlier. And archaeologists don't have a problem with hunter-gatherers organizing each other and, you know, creating complex megalithic structures, big buildings like that. There's no archaeological objection, really.
Seriously? Now, this is either a complete lack of self-awareness, or this is a retcon so big that Games Workshop is about to sue Stefan for copying their model. Let's see what Stefan said before.
Atlantis is dead, guys. Atlantis is an idea. It's dead. And Flint Dibble, he might have killed it. He might have killed it.
That was right after the debate between Flint Dibble and Graham Hancock, and Stefan was very quick to say, this hypothesis is completely dead. There is no way you could possibly look for a lost civilization in the past that would have any technology outstripping what we would expect them to have. That's basically what he was saying there, which is an absurd thing to say, let's be clear. But when you couch it as the terms Atlantis, well, now he's looking at it with an entirely different thing. Just like Milo Rossi, this is not, this isn't really about being honest or fixing a narrative. This is really just bang a drum, and in this case, show that you're part of Team X and make a few bucks. Why not?
I've made videos about all sorts of topics. You know, how far north did Neanderthals get? Did they get to America? You know, are fossils that we identify as Homo erectus actually Denisovans? I keep an open mind, but my ramblings are still grounded in the research, right? That is what I think is the key. And I think why I'm on this list is because I disagree with Graham's conclusion.
Now, this is absurd. I've made numerous videos disagreeing with Graham and told him to his face I don't agree with him. And that was me sitting across from him on the stage. All I had to do was treat him with respect and not call him a liar and an idiot and all this stuff, and show that I was actually honestly willing to entertain what he has to say. And next thing you know, he thinks I'm an all right dude. He doesn't just hate me because I disagree with him. But then again, I don't say things like this.
Now, at the end there, Graham obviously implies that we're not looking at the right place, we're not looking at the right evidence. You know, his arguments are heavily based on mythology. But for him to concede that literally none of the evidence we have at the minute points to the evidence for Atlantis, it's got to be a huge concession.
And then turn around and try to claim that I have an open mind. So, you know, there is a little bit of a difference between me and some of the other people that he deals with.
It's important to remember fundamentally, this is what fundamentally I believe Graham believes in, is that sometime, you know, 12-ish thousand years ago, there was an advanced civilization that foretold its doom and was able to, you know, sail around the world, seeding civilization everywhere it went. That's the claim I disagree with. Not that people traveled further in prehistory than we have evidence for. They almost certainly did. Everyone in prehistory is doing more than what we know because we don't have all the evidence, right?
Well, you've got some of it right, but some of it you're way off on. Graham doesn't necessarily think they predicted their own demise. They may have. They were definitely into astronomy, according to Graham. They were definitely into sailing. They were definitely into constructing things. They were definitely into math. Those things he's not going to be swayed on. High technology? He's perfectly content with them having no high technology. He'll ask how they got such good longitude, which is a fair question. He'll ask how they move some of these big rocks, which is another fair question. But you won't see Graham saying, well, they definitely had high technology. Now, as I said, me and Graham disagree with each other quite frequently. He will take and speculate way further than I would feel comfortable doing so, but that's his job, right? I mean, my job, I guess, is to kind of keep us reined in over here in Pyramidiotville, and Graham is one of the speculators, and Graham has some pretty crazy speculations sometimes, but they're pretty impressive and pretty interesting. And let's be honest, when you're discussing things and you start positing like spirituality, like Graham does, you really can't discuss these things on a scientific level yet. Maybe one day we'll get to where we can, but right now, spirituality is outside of the realm of scientific inquiry as a dream is. You can't really, unless you start like plugging brain, and we really don't know much yet. Somebody's going to post down below, we know everything about dreams. Anyway, the making this about ancient high tech, when Graham has gone on the record and said that it's not necessarily about that, that he's really just looking for this lost civilization that he sees the wisps of in the modern day or through the myths and legends and big buildings and shit, holding it to the high-tech thing just makes it where you have a reason to argue, because if I say we're just looking for a lost civilization from prehistory that probably has better technology than what you would attribute to them as we currently know about them, or better tech than their contemporaries had, you wouldn't argue with that. You'd say that probably will be found. And you know what? Graham agrees. That's what he's been talking about for the last few decades. Only problem is that anytime he says something that is the least bit outlandish, y'all latch onto it like mad. For example, I remember when I was responding to you before, Stefan, you didn't have many of Graham's books, but you did have The Mars Mystery. Grab that stuff that's way out there. Don't take anything that's close to home and that all of us talk about. Don't even worry about that.
But there was not this like uber advanced civilization that we owe everything to. Not only is there no evidence for that, like, all our evidence massively contradicts that. All our evidence for the development of farming and things like that, it seems like it takes thousands of years for these things to occur. It wasn't just someone rocking up on a boat and being like, hey, have you considered farming and maths? That's not how history works. History is so much more complex than that.
Now, feeling there was no uber-advanced civilization 12,000 years ago, I tend to agree with Stefan. I mean, as most of my followers know, I'm not too big on ancient high technology, but I do think they had better tech than what they're generally giving credit for. And this is where I'd say that the evidence is strongly agrees. I would say you've got things like Graham Langdon's book that has the mystery of the naval holding idols or naval statues. These statues that are holding their stomach, like at Easter Island, like at Göbekli Tepe, like all over Anatolia and stuff. These statues seem to pop up with metallurgy and or agriculture just starting up. So like, and we see that in the New World as well, which that's pretty interesting, right? I mean, this iconography that tends to come along with plenty here, these people have plenty, and now they're making iconography that shows they have plenty. Seems to me like maybe there's something there. We have the same kind of thing happening with the Easter Island. Thor Heyerdahl posited that the rocks on one of the rocks on one of the Ahus was connected to Peru. He was mocked heavily and called all kinds of names, but now genetics is proving that's the case. That is if you trust DNA, Stefan. I mean, it's possible they just did like Moses and ran around in the sea there for 100 years until their DNA was all fucked up, and then we can just make up whatever stories we want. That's how that works, right? Jesus Christ. Anyway, we have a lot of other different things. We have the Master of Beasts iconography. We have Orion being a symbol of the afterlife. We have things like Göbekli Tepe and things like Baalbek that do kind of beggar imagination. Göbekli Tepe mostly because they're low tech, but Baalbek, that's an interesting site that does make you scratch your head. There's places all across the world that the Bolivian language I've talked about in the past, the Aymara, that language was used to create a multi-language translating program because of how it worked. It speaks in computerese, basically. There's a lot of things. Basically, long story short, only somebody who was either complete ideologue or really didn't do any proper research could make the claim that all the evidence goes against it.
When you consider the scale of Graham's claim, you would imagine he has a lot of evidence to support that, right? But in my opinion, he does not. I don't think I've ever seen Graham point to a specific artifact and say this was made by a civilization. Isn't that remarkable? That they sailed the world, sailed to all these different places, allegedly, and didn't leave behind a single artifact. Out of all the millions upon millions upon millions of artifacts we have from human history, not one ever belongs to them.
Stefan has already proven he won't accept the evidence when it's presented to him. When shown DNA evidence that makes him reconsider his position on the peopling of the Americas, He bends over backwards to explain away that DNA to make it not nearly as robust. I'll just show you real fast again.
In the modern world, with all the technology we have, the best source of evidence for connection between different peoples now and in prehistory is going to be DNA. That's what archaeologists, that's what geneticists would really expect to see if there was this globe-spanning civilization somewhere in prehistory. I think we would see a lot of genetic evidence for that, not just in ancient human remains, but still within us today. If you think about how advanced ancient genetics has gotten, you know, we're looking for really tiny percentages of archaic admixture from archaic humans tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years ago. We've gotten so good at that. If we were sort of interconnected on like an urban scale, I think we would see a lot of evidence within that in our DNA. It's like if you're ever scrolling on TikTok or something and you see someone from like Honduras do an ancestry DNA test and they're related to absolutely everyone in the world. It's like 8% Cameroon, 3% Morocco, 4% Russia, blah, 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 blah. They're just related to absolutely everyone because, you know, the history of all the people traveling to the Americas. I think if we were connected on a large scale in prehistory, that's the kind of thing we would expect to see. Now, people did move a lot in prehistory. We have a lot of evidence for that archaeologically, genetically. Sometimes they move really far distances, thousands of miles. And I don't want to say that we know everything about genetics, especially ancient genetics. We for sure do not know everything. There's still so much we can learn from that. But if we're talking about a civilization, as I say, on a global scale, I think we'd see genetic evidence of it. The fact that we don't have that, it has to keep Graham Hancock and people that really support his ideas up at night. That has to really bother them. I can't believe that it doesn't. That is the strongest piece of evidence we would need to prove the connection between groups of people, and it's basically missing. If you think about all the shows that he talked, all the places he talks about in the show, Malta, North America, South America, Antarctica, Indonesia, Turkey, Malta, really places that are really far away from each other, I think we'd find a genetic signal of that. I really think so. It's got to keep him up at night. It's got to absolutely keep him up at night. That is, in my opinion, just a baseline fundamental objection to this idea.
But he's not interested in the DNA evidence. He explains it away like I just showed you. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he's going to do the same thing with artifacts, that he's going to dismiss things like the Sabu disc, or Schitt's disc if you want to call it that, or the Cart Ruts, or the Baalbek. Any of these things, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he's going to dismiss them so that the narrative is always...
Because he basically has no evidence to support his ideas.
And this intellectual dishonesty is consistent with the way they have handled this, at least ever since the debate.
His arguments are heavily based on mythology, but for him to concede that literally none of the evidence we have at the minute points to the evidence for Atlantis, it's got to be a huge concession.
Stefan hears Graham saying there's no evidence of Atlantis in the areas that we have looked, on the coasts, under the continental shelves, in these specific areas that he mentions. Stefan spins that into Graham says he has no evidence whatsoever, and why the hell is this guy even making a Netflix special or writing books? He's got nothing. It's stupid, Stefan. It's very, very stupid.
It's always this idea that they inspired these artifacts. And then when you see the artifacts that are allegedly inspired by them, you know, to take an example from his last series, Ancient Apocalypse, it's two vaguely similar pieces of pottery. This is a ludicrous claim. There is no conspiracy needed to not believe in this stuff. No conspiracy at all. If you're going to say that there was this civilization that taught us everything we need to know and blah, 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 and foretold its own doom and seeded civilization, etc., etc., and when I ask for proof, it's just two pieces of pottery. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I know this is crazy. Imagine thinking 12,000-year-old artifacts are hard to find, or that maybe some of the boats from long time ago haven't been found. They're in the bottom of the ocean. They've been destroyed. I mean, that would be crazy. You know, it's like Stefan said earlier, sailing around the ocean is just really, really hard. That's what he said when he was talking about Graham stuff. Wonder if he thinks the same about Neanderthals.
For sure, we can definitely say, though, that creating boats and sailing and traveling across the water is as old as humanity itself, and potentially much, much older.
You see how this works? When it's an alternate history claim, the skepticism goes up to 11. When it's a regular history claim, we just assume things work out pretty much however you want them to work out. And that's bad enough, but then you get things like the pottery that Stefan kept picking at, which is just absolutely absurd to me. Graham didn't use just that pottery in his series there, but he did use the pottery, and I know that Stefan is into anthropology and archaeology a lot, but I'm going to read from a 1969 paper. In it we read, although the place where pottery first appeared in the New World and the paths of its subsequent diffusion are still largely a matter of speculation, recent investigations have provided new evidence that offers the opportunity for a reappraisal of these problems. Their solution is important because pottery can be used as a tracer for recognizing paths of immigration or cultural diffusion, and not because archaeologists believe that pottery is in itself a particularly significant cultural trait. Pottery is ideal for this purpose because innumerable variations in vessel shape and decoration are compatible with its function, permitting the development of diagnostic regional styles. On the other hand, its manufacture follows culturally recognized norms, with the result that traditional forms and decoration tend to be preserved. Fortunately for the archaeologist, potsherds are among the most durable ingredients of the archaeological record, because without this evidence, reconstruction of the New World cultural history would be much more difficult than it is. Well, apparently Stefan needed some help, you know, figuring out why Graham would show different but similar pottery styles and the painting on them. So, I hope this paper from 60 years ago helps you out, Stefan. Maybe you should go and take a basic class on this, because this is very, very basic stuff here when it comes to archaeology.
Graham, at the end of his talk, kind of half-jokingly wonders if the CIA are involved in this.
I never really felt that there was a conspiracy involving archaeologists, but I'm beginning to now. And again, this sort of thing, the most dangerous show, the conspiracy, the need to have regulated television so that ideas like mine can't get out. It's interesting that the same media assets that were used by the CIA on the Nixon issue are being used, on the Kennedy issue are being used against alternative archaeology. So I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but we shall see.
You know, and I think it's one of those jokes where it's like, he makes it seem like it's joking, but I'm not sure how much he's joking, to be honest. I think he kind of believes that. And when you think about the audience that attends a cosmic summit, I think they're rather inclined to believe that the CIA are involved in these kinds of things. I mean, that's a bit dramatic, isn't it? A bit dramatic.
And this is how Stefan makes the claim that Graham is saying that he's a CIA plant or whatever. And that's really, really threadbare. I mean, I know that Stefan needs a way to make clickbait, to make the video, you know, it has to be cool and hip to get people to click on it. I get that. But this is pretty bad, man. I mean, it is par for the course. Like I said, Stefan always does this. He never gives Graham actual credit and actual... You know, he doesn't actually address his real arguments. He addresses side things that he can attack. And, you know, straw man, like we've seen so far.
I think it is a shame that Graham is going on this. It's a whinge fest, man. Ever since Graham obviously lost the debate to Flynn Dibble, you can tell that hurt him really bad. You can tell that hurt him so badly. He can't stop talking about Flint. It seems like all his media appearances now are not talking about ancient civilization, but just whining about academia, quote unquote. And I think that's a shame.
Imagine being hurt by somebody because they said they were going to debate with you and they were going to use the evidence, and then they lied about the evidence to make you look like you didn't even know what you were talking about. Imagine if they laughed at you. Imagine if they mocked you. Imagine if you talked about them incessantly, but every time you utter their name, they cry foul. Imagine if they were so dead set on proving themselves right that they were willing to misinform the public on how metallurgy is found in ice cores. Imagine if they were absolutely willing to be a science educator that miseducates the public in science just to save face. How would you feel? I'll tell you how I feel. I'm not Graham. I'll tell you how I feel about the whole thing. I feel betrayed by the scientists that are supporting the jackass that was on the stage that did that. This is... We expect better. And you guys say, we hold our own to the fire. We call out our own, but you fucking don't. You let them make mistakes and run amok as long as they're yelling at the right people. You don't give a fuck. And this is a great example. Flint made mistakes. Nobody on Team Science called it out. Everybody on Team Woo called it out. And now you guys are crying that all we're doing is crying. No, do your fucking jobs. I got an idea. Quit circling the wagons. Every time somebody on your team does something wrong, hang them out to dry for being a jackass and watch your credibility go back up. or keep this shit up, and then me and Graham will be the people that fucking point out when you guys do shit wrong. And your credibility is going to be less than that of an electrician with the GED. It's really up to you guys here.
There's no doubt a hardcore group of Graham Hancock fans that probably laps that up. But I think for a lot of people are pretty bored of the whinging. They want to see Graham talk about ayahuasca and ancient shamans and lost civilizations. I think it's a shame to spend, you know, his time public speaking again whining about this.
Jesus Christ, Stefan, really? You think that Graham Hancock needs your opinion on what his fans are after and how to navigate that one? I'm sure he's just waiting on bated breath to see what you have to say. You know, I can tell you one thing. I can tell you what we're sick of over here in the Atlantis hunting community. We're sick of you guys weighing in with double standards. We're sick of you guys coming in and not being willing to look at things and saying it's been debunked. We're sick and tired of you guys just shitting all over everything instead of just leaving us be. Why don't you just fucking let us be, man? Let us talk about big rocks and all this crazy shit. Instead, you want to fucking call us racist and stuff. I mean, come on, fuck on. And then you're going to cry about it when we get angry? Because of the, no, man. Oh, you didn't call us racist, Stefan. That's fine. You're defending the guy who does. So I don't know what to tell you, man.
And that's not to say that the Graham's criticisms of academia are entirely unfounded. He is right. The American archaeology got a real bee in its bonnet about the Clovis first. That's true. I've spoken to archaeologists in America who, you know, Paleolithic archaeologists in America, and I asked them, you know, was it really that bad? Was, if you believed in anything Clovis first, were you really, like, you know, not taken seriously? And apparently that is true. And I don't know why that happened, other than to say that archaeology is a subject obviously made entirely by humans, and humans have egos and misconceptions and all of these things.
Yes, archaeology is made by humans, and it's often very ego-driven, in large part because it's usually threadbare data that they're working with, so it's got a lot of room for personal interpretation, which is me writing a story, which now is being debunked by somebody else, and I take that personal. That's why archaeology has the problem with psychology. If only somebody had been saying this. It's fucking crazy, man. It's like somebody's been yelling this for a while, it seems like, but I don't know. Maybe it's an echo. And then, you know, you can say that Clovis first was a bad thing. I appreciate you at least mentioning that, Stefan, but it wasn't a one-off. Before Clovis, the Folsom people were supposed to have been the first people to have settled the Americas, and during their time, during the 1920s and 30s, during the heyday of the Folsom first stuff, you couldn't really argue with that and come and say, man, you know, the Clovis people were pretty interesting. Oh, no, they ain't having that shit. They will kick you right the fuck out of there. It's Folsom first. And now we have the same thing all the way up with NAGPRA. If you disagree with the Native American Graves Repatriation and Protection Act, they're going to tell you that you're fucking racist and blackball you from universities. It's basically, what we have here is a field of study that has always LARPed as a science. It's always had scientists hanging out. It's always been talking to scientists, but the better our tech gets and the better science gets, the less archaeology keeps up. It falls more and more behind. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, psychology is the king of all sciences, but it's also the softest of all sciences because the numbers are self-reported. The data is self-reported, right? But archaeology is really, really close to psychology and how soft it is because it's just made up. The vast majority of stuff is what you chose to believe and then what you made up from that. Insert sea people's story here.
But what I would say about that, right, is that, like, archaeologists in, let's say there's archaeologists in Asia, they're not, none of them are concerned with Clovis first, man. Or in Europe, none of them are concerned with Clovis first. That doesn't affect anyone's view of prehistory. So the fact that Clovis first was held on dogmatically for too long does not affect in any way the fact that Graham's civilization has not been discovered.
Sure, American archaeology isn't well known in Asia. Stefan, you're right about that. Clovis first did not influence Ganong Padang one bit. You know what did influence Ganong Padang? It was a bunch of American archaeologists that were all hell-bent on debunking pseudoscience, and so they got Dr. Danny Nadiwajawa's paper retracted. Now, you can ignore that. You can pretend that that's not really part of the problem, but it absolutely is. And it's part of the reason that guys like me or Graham or other people complain about this. Because, dude, look at you, Stefan. American archaeology doesn't matter over in Asia. Well, who the fuck's getting them to retract their papers? This is a huge, huge problem, and it always happens when it is something that's on the pseudoscience side of things. For example, look at Göbekli Tepe and all the trees and all the bullshit surrounding that. Look at the debate around that. That shouldn't have been a debate. That should have been like, there's trees on this site, we need to get rid of them, bing, bang, boom. It's stupid, okay? It's just stupid.
And this is all obviously a rhetorical device to make his ideas seem more plausible. Because he basically has no evidence to support his ideas. No evidence at all. Otherwise, we would see it in his TV shows, right? Like, put yourself in the mind of Graham. You're making these big budget Netflix shows. You're going to present your best evidence. And to be confronted by those two vaguely similar pots is crazy. It's an obvious sign he has no evidence.
Yeah, Stefan, Graham didn't go to Malta. He hasn't talked about flood myths. He hasn't talked about the vases. He hasn't talked about the handbags. He hasn't talked about shared iconography and shared religious myths. He hasn't talked about Plato's story dovetailing nicely with the Younger Dryas. None of it. Graham has no evidence whatsoever. All the people that follow him are just, we all just sit around and we drink ayahuasca together. Those of us that can afford it, the poor people, we have to do fentanyl. And then we just see God. That's exactly how he sold so many fucking books, dude. Maybe you should be the one to actually tell him how to navigate this stuff, because it's like your discernment is so fucking up here, Stefan.
So this constant going on about Clovis first is just obviously a rhetorical device to make his ideas seem more plausible, that the only reason we haven't discovered this lost civilization is because of dogmatic archaeologists. Even though if you watch any of my videos, you know archaeologists disagree all the time.
No, Stefan, this is done to highlight issues that ideas that are not endorsed by many archaeologists can face, even if they have evidence to support them. This isn't something that hasn't happened since people still believed Kurt Cobain didn't have a gun. This is something that happens now, right now. Again, Dr. Danny Naudi-Wajahwa's paper was not retracted just because of Indonesian people. It was a Western push. Okay, this is part of the discourse here, buddy, and you do it yourself, which is why I end up making videos addressing you more than once. And look at how you handle the DNA, Stefan. It's like this smoking robust gun evidence, or it's just nonsensical, who really knows what it means. And this is supposed to be passing for scientifically literate, dude. What in the fuck?
Oh, yeah. I'll say one more thing. Graham is uniquely positioned in this alternative archaeological space to try and solve these questions, right? No one has more money than Graham. The idea that he's being silenced is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. He's had two Netflix documentaries. He's had a documentary on British TV, countless appearances on the world's largest podcast. The idea that Graham is being silenced is the most ludicrous thing ever.
Wow. There's two things here that are so stupid that I could barely address them both. There's actually three things here, but we'll skip the first. We'll just assume Graham has as much money as Stefan thinks he does. Do you think he's going to take the guys that hate him, to call him transphobe, homophobe, racist, sexist, whimy, whatever the fuck they call him? Do you think that he's going to say, hey, man, here's $1 billion and a fucking submersible and a fucking PlayStation controller. Go find Atlantis. No, I don't think he's going to do that either. It's fucking crazy, huh, Stefan? Back to that psychology thing. It's pretty tricky psychology here to suss, but I think we're going to both come to the same conclusion. The other thing that is absolutely batshit fucking crazy that he just said there was that being on Joe Rogan and having, you know, books and shit means that you're not being censored at all. So, you know, I thought of a few different people to bring up for this, but I think the best one to bring up for this would be Edward Snowden, because he's been on Joe Rogan, and he is also heavily censored and well-known for being heavily censored, but he's been on Joe Rogan, so according to Stefan, he can't possibly be censored because he's been on Joe Rogan. It's like this doublethink is so fucking heavy, is so... I mean, this is insane. This is absolutely insane.
But it is a shame that Graham is uniquely placed to try and answer his questions, research his questions, and yet he does not. And I'll give you a perfect example from season one of his Ancient Apocalypse show. They clearly had the budget for underwater drones and scanning and submarines and all of this stuff because they did it at the Bimini Rocks, which this natural feature. And yet, over in Malta, Graham claimed that these cart ruts go underwater, deep underwater. We only saw like a little picture of it. But man, Graham, you could have got the underwater drones out. You could scan stuff. Like, no one is better placed to try and answer a specific question about prehistory, about lost civilization than him. And yet he does not.
Now, this is complete bullshit. This is the kind of stuff that they're trying to bait Graham. Do you think if Graham found cart ruts going from Sardinia to Italy, that Stefan would accept those as evidence for Graham's lost civilization? Fucking of course not. Of course not. So why does he even bring it up? So that he has one more thing to bitch about. Probably because he didn't even script it. He probably just like was like, I'm just going to yell about what I saw in this video and make some money.
It does honestly make me think that these are not really sincerely held beliefs of Graham's. I kind of think that, to be honest. Especially last season when he was talking about how, you know, an Easter Island, maybe the Moai that we have today are just the survivors and there was lots underwater. When the Moai that we have today like perfectly match the coastline of Rapa Nui. And it's just like, does he actually believe that, man? Does he actually believe that? Is he actually trying to solve any of these questions? I don't think so.
And by calling Graham a grifter and saying that he doesn't really believe the things that he says, that's really good, man. I'm sure he's going to love that. Fucking hell, Stefan. Yeah, you know, you go into Easter Island then and you don't even know what you're talking about, bro. Like, for one, all of the shoreline of Easter Island was not the same as it is now. Parts of it were cliffs, but parts of it are beach. Those parts weren't the same when the sea levels were lower. Another thing, you know, they just found a new Moai. Yeah, just found a couple of years ago, and you know where it was? It was underwater, man. It was under fucking water. They found it underwater. They didn't find it off the beach, but they found it underwater. So this is exactly why so many people don't pay attention to you fucking numbnuts after a while, because the information you give, Stefan, when you're talking about, like, Neanderthals and shit is fine. But if you inject Graham Hancock at all, you turn into a babbling fucking bonehead. You get double standards and you get idiotic, arrogant, and seriously, just kind of idiotic. Like, you don't really know what you're talking about. And, you know, when you make those other videos, you could call yourself a science educator. But these Graham Hancock things, dude, you don't even qualify for TMZ levels. Like, you're just bad. You're just bad. Just bad, bad, bad. Join me this December 5th through 7th in Scottsdale, Arizona for the Quest for Ancient Civilizations Conference. I'll be speaking there, as will Jimmy Corsetti, Mike Collins, Gary Buechler, AJ Gentile, Hugh Newman, and many, many other people. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be in the warm part of the country and the cold part of the year. Come check it out. Hope to see you there.